What we don't realize is that when we hold things against someone, it's first causing a lot of damage here inside. It's resentment, it's hatred. It would affect my physical costume. It will affect my relationships. And it doesn't affect only that particular relationship. Because, okay, another one. I met a young boy who hates his father because his father used to physically abuse the mother. So as a young boy, he had seen only physical violence in his family. And he hadn't spoken to his father for years. He said, "I hate that man." He never even used to refer to him as, you know, dad or whatever. He said, "I hate that man and I'm never going to talk to him." And he felt it was justified. His anger was justified. His hatred was justified. But what was happening was, none of his other relationships were working out fine. Because there was so much bitterness, there was so much pain, so that person had only bitterness to offer to whoever he met. So he said, "Why aren't my relationships working on fine?" I said, "Only one solution. Forgive your father." He said, "Never. I'll never do that." So continue then. But if you want, you will have to empty yourself here of the bitterness. So bitterness created for one particular individual doesn't stay only with that individual. It's basically energy that I've created here, which will flow into every relationship, and most important, stays here every day. Unfortunately, the people whom we don't like stay on our mind most of the time, don't they? They're all here most of the time. So once I realize I am hurting myself, then forgiveness. How much time would it take?
But is it okay to be angry sometime?
I don't know, it's your choice. It's like saying, is it okay to fall ill once in a while? If you wish to, and then decide how often. You just have to decide how often you want to fall ill and then keep a parameter and fall ill that many times a day. How many times do you feel you want to fall ill in a day? No one. We always look at perfect health.
We'll move to the next question. How does someone maintain effort to find solution when a problem seems to be going on for years and years?
In fact, what happens is that the mind goes round in a broken record. And so this is why the examples that Sister Shivani just mentioned, the more you repeat that thing in your mind, the more it gets entrenched and the bigger it becomes. You know, they speak about little tiny drops becoming as big as a mountain, whereas a mountain can become a tiny little mustard seed. And the way it works is just simply how much energy I'm giving it. So this little seed has become bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's become a mountain. And that's because I just kept thinking about the problem, the problem, the problem, the problem. And if instead I were to step away, I'll use a word that's not always understood, but I think it's an important word. If I could be a little bit detached, and detachment doesn't mean hardness or coldness or dryness, it simply means being able to step away for a moment and actually see what's going on. And so the other word that we often use for the word detach is observer. To be a detached observer and see what the situation really is. Because when I'm stuck there, I can't see. My vision is very restricted. But I step away a little bit, then I can see what's going on. And because I can see what's going on, I'll be able to find a way to deal with it. And I think that, again, the most important thing is to know that if I want my own state of peace to stay with me, if I want my own state of happiness to stay with me, I have to do something about it myself. Otherwise, I'm handing over my life into somebody else's hand. And one of the things that I think many people here would connect with is this desire of the human heart for freedom. Right? We want to be free. But yet what we're doing when we allow problems to overtake us, we're handing over our freedom to other people and circumstances instead of being able to step back, see what's going on, deal with it, and be able to be free.
So what suggestion could you offer us to remain determined to find solutions?
My happiness is more important than my pain, my choice. The whole path of spirituality is being able to see that I can be the master of my own life. And this is where the word Raj Yoga comes in. Raja, the sovereign, the king, the master. It doesn't mean wearing a crown on my head or a tiara, but it means being the master of my own life. And if I'm choosing to have happiness in my life, then instead of being stuck, I'll say, okay, well, what can I do about this? Instead of just asking the question why and how and if and when and but, you know, those questions are endless. Have you been there? You start asking those questions, why? And who's going to give you an answer? There'll never be an answer. But what you can do is, okay, here's what's going on. Now what can I do about it? And if I take that responsibility for myself, and again, this word responsibility is not a pleasant word sometimes, but it's actually the key to freedom. When I accept responsibility, that's when I become free. And when I don't accept responsibility, I stay in bondage to people and circumstances and problems. And so my choice, I want to maintain my inner equilibrium. I want to maintain my state of happiness. And if I want to do this, then this and this and this is what I have to do.
As you mentioned the word Raj Yoga, and here we came to know today, there are quite a lot of people who are coming for this event and this kind of event for the very first time. So how you can define Raj Yoga, how Raj Yoga is different from other forms of yoga?
It's a meditation, so we've already seen that difference, that it's not a physical exercise, it is something to do with my mind. So there are a lot of meditation techniques today, and sometimes we get confused, what should I do and what's the right one for me? The most common thing that people feel that when they have to meditate is choose a point, concentrate on that and stop thinking. Try and go absolutely blank. One, this can be the biggest challenge because the nature of the mind is to think. It's natural for thoughts to get created, and what we try to do is go against the natural. We try to stop thinking, which is not possible. So it creates a pressure here. Even creating this thought that I don't have to think, I don't have to think, this is a thought. So you can never really be absolutely thoughtless. What we do in Raj Yoga meditation is not stop thinking, not take the same word or a same sentence and repeat it again and again, but to consciously create the right kind of thoughts for myself. So when the mind is involved in doing creative work, not repetitive work, then it's fully there. But if I ask my mind to do a repetitive work, then it tends to go here and there and it loses interest. So the mind consciously creates the right thoughts based on the knowledge, the truth that I get. Like Sister Jayanti said, who am I? Finding this answer. Till date I thought I was just the body, the name, the profession, the role, the relationship. But these are all the things that I have acquired in my lifetime. But who am I who plays the role, who goes to work, who is in this particular relationship? So I am that beautiful being, that energy. I didn't even know about it. What's my nature? I'm peaceful. I'm happy. And that's why everyone likes peace. So when I sit in meditation, I will consciously create those thoughts that I, the being, am the master of this body. I am a peaceful being. I don't want peace. I don't want happiness. This is already my original nature. So I basically channelize my mind into that thinking. So it's basically setting the mind to that particular frequency and understanding that I am the creator of every thought. Now once I spend 10 to 15 minutes in the morning programming my mind to this particular frequency, and now I go to work. Now let the economic crisis or all that whole list come, and I will immediately have the thought, yes, the situation is whatever it is, but I am a powerful being. I am the master of the situation. Instead of the normal ordinary thoughts, now what will happen to me? This is the end of everything. There is no future for me. Situation is still the same. It's just what thoughts I will create at that particular time.
And I was going through the website, the PK's website, and there you mentioned having a solution-based approach. So what does it mean to have a solution-based approach to life?
It means starting the day knowing that the day is in my hands, and whatever is my attitude towards life, that's how I'm going to create the circumstances around me. And so if I begin the day and I say, oh, what a horrible day, it's a problem, then what I'll face through the whole day are nothing but more problems. But if I begin the day appreciating the beauty of life, appreciating the value of my own life, then I say, well, what is it that today offers me? And I'll move forward in that direction. And I'll make a positive contribution for my own life, but also a positive contribution to my family and the world around me. And so I think that what's happened is that we've accepted that the world has become negative, the world has problems, and there's nothing we can do about it. People feel quite helpless today. They feel that the problems are overwhelming. And I have to also say that media and the leaders of today's society really instill a lot of fear in people, because fear is a method of control. And so what we're doing is having all these problems face us, and we're being told that, you know, you should be afraid about all of this, and so then there can be an external control out there. But I decide to do things differently. I say, well, my future is in my own hands, and what I do at the present moment is going to create my future. It's not just going to happen by chance, and I don't have to let anybody else dictate my future or take charge of it, but I can decide what my future is to be. So my thoughts, if they're elevated thoughts, they're going to create that atmosphere in which it's going to be easy for me to have good relationships, good actions, and I'm going to start creating a better world. And so, yes, it begins with the self in a very personal way, and my own inner state of being and my relationships with others. But also, each one of us has an impact on the world. You know, they say if you lift your finger, you move the stars. Well, it's true that each one of us has a very long-term impact. And so instead of just accepting that it's a world of problems and huddle myself in a corner and say, well, what am I going to do? I can't do anything about it. I say, okay, well, I can begin with myself, and that's going to have a far-reaching impact. But I don't have to wait to see that. I just have to have that trust that the seeds planted today are going to be bringing the right fruits in the future.
So I'll share a little example on what Chandipen said, because it's very deep how our right thinking can make us solution-oriented. There was this young 24-year-old girl, and she called us. She was standing on the terrace of her building, ready to jump down. And she had her phone with her, and she had the number of the television program on that. And she said, I am ready to jump down, but I just thought I'll call you all up to see whether you can do anything about my problem. We're talking about challenges. And she was crying continuously. And her problem was, or her challenge was, that her husband was going to leave her for someone else, and he had already prepared the divorce papers. And this young girl felt it was the end of the world for her. And she said, there's no way I can live. There's no way my parents can go through all this, and I am not ready to go through this. So what do I do? The only solution I can think of, she says, is end everything. So we talked to her for some time, and we did a little experiment, which she worked. She did all the work. And that was, yes, there is a lot of challenge outside, because the husband was still there with her, coming home every day, abusing her, criticizing her, because he wanted to justify what he had done. And you know, he kept on rubbing into her every day that you are a horrible person, and that's why I'm leaving you. I am not doing anything wrong. It's you who are wrong. So she was going through this lot of trauma and pain. And then we said, is it possible for you to create a thought? Everything is absolutely normal.
So
nothing is wrong. My husband is absolutely fine. And she said, no, how can I create a thought that he's not absolutely fine? I said, what do you want to happen? What do you want your destiny to be? She said, I want my destiny that my husband should be back with me. Whereas she had the divorce papers in her cupboard with her. I said, then whatever you want your destiny to be, create that thought without a single doubt. She went through this whole process. It took her about 15-20 days to really change her way of thinking. And she said, everything is normal, everything is fine. And she tried very hard, and she was absolutely natural even when her husband used to come home. No crying, no pain, no criticism, nothing. That provoked the husband even more, you know, that when something is wrong like this, how can she be? And he got even worse. Challenges for her. She continued doing that. After 2 months, he left. He went to the US, and the girl with him, she left. And he said, I'm not coming back. This young sister, she called up and she said, my husband's left. And I said, I don't know. I thought, what is she going to do now? And she said, but you know what? I'm okay. I'm fine. Because in those many days, she had changed her whole way of thinking. And that had brought her stability. Situation had not changed, but her way of thinking gave her that inner power to cross the situation. She got to work, she started taking care of herself. After 1 month, her husband calls back and he says, I've realized what I've done. Can I come back? And this has been 1.5 years, and they're both together, very fine, absolutely. Everything okay in their house.
It's all in our thinking.
And it started from the terrace of her building.
So with meditation we can change ourselves, we can
absolutely
change our thinking. So now you can take us to the meditation now?
Yeah, sure. Let's sit comfortably for a few moments. Which is not doing anything unnatural, nothing new. Creating thoughts, but the only difference now with awareness. Choosing our thoughts. So we'll give you a few thoughts. Just try to take your mind with those thoughts. Let the body relax, very comfortable. And let me see myself. I haven't seen myself for a very long time. Probably didn't even know myself. The one who plays the roles and the relationships. One who comes into actions. I, the energy which creates every thought, feeling, and experience. I am a powerful being.
the master of my mind and the master of every situation. I choose at every step my responses. And today, I choose happiness as my response, because I am a happy being. Let there be any situation, any challenge outside, I am ready. Because I have learnt the art of creating the right response. I am that powerful being, vibrations of happiness and power spread from me to everyone I meet, everywhere I go. There is a whole layer of energy that protects me. I am in that protective shield, consciously choosing and creating every response. Om Shanti.
Okay, I'm sure you all enjoyed the beautiful meditation and hope it helped to clear your mind and refresh your soul. Now let's resume our question and answer session, and these questions I think is going to be really tough because we received these questions from our audience when they were registering their stencils. So first question I received is, can you define the purpose of one's life? We all juggle between work and family and somehow totally ignore what we need. In reality, there is no me time anymore. How can we tackle all this in a positive way?
Well, I think that the person who's asked the question is on the right track, because actually at that moment when you do acknowledge that this is the situation, that's when you start finding the solution. Otherwise, if you're just trapped in that situation, you don't even realize that you can do something about it. And there's a very simple formula that I learned many, many years ago, and that was that if I put myself at the top of the pyramid, then on the other side I put my situations of life, whether it's my health, whether it's my family, or whether it's my work, and on the other side I put the situation of my relationship with God, then that's going to resolve many things. Or maybe you could turn it around the other way. You could put God at the apex and then on one side is me, and on the other side is all the situations of my life. I think that today's world has become a very secular world, and sometimes we've dissociated ourselves from the spiritual because of all sorts of images we've had about God, and we've said that God divides us and isn't a force or an energy that can bring us together. But having said that and done that, we've deprived of ourselves of the source of love, of truth, of power, and whatever it is I need in human life. And so if I say, if I get my own self sorted out, if the battery is charged, then the battery can do the work it needs to do. If the battery is discharged, then everything around me is going haywire. My work isn't working out, my relationships aren't working out, and everything is getting into a state of chaos, and I wonder why. But it's because I haven't sorted things out for myself. And if I'm in a mess, how can I sort things out for myself? I can't. I need to take help from up above. And so if I put the Supreme at that apex, understanding that this isn't a question of religion or belief in that sense, but the recognition that there is one who is the divine, and that one is the parent of all of us. So no question of any division on any level. But my personal relationship with that being of light is that which is going to help me have the strength to balance things out in my life properly. Otherwise, I think for the majority of people, either we give attention to our family, or we give attention to our work, or we give attention to our health, and to manage to balance all of these things we think is difficult, but it should be normal. It should be part of my life as a day-to-day basis, you know? Why should it be something that's so difficult to manage? But that's because I've lost my inner strength and power, and I don't know where to get that from. And so meditation means, yes, turning inwards, but also connecting with the one above, so that I have the energy, the strength to do all the things that I need to do out here.
Our destiny, our fate, our luck. The question is not what's more powerful, the question is who creates this. It is when I tend to go feel that things are not in my control, and when I'm not able to handle my situations and my challenges properly, I need someone to blame for what I'm going through, and more important, for the pain that I'm going through. It's less about outside, but it's the pain that I'm going through. So I normally blame situations, I blame people, and then I say, my luck.